Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. I appreciate the pastor giving me the opportunity to preach in his absence. And I thought James did a great job this morning. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. Let me go back. Got to say a couple words from verse 13. Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that You speak to us. And Lord, I thank You for the great gifts You have given us. And I pray, Lord, that You would bless Your word tonight, and that, Lord, through it, we would receive a greater desire to be full of Your Spirit. In Your name we pray. Amen. Here in this verse, it says, the earnest of our inheritance. My thoughts this week have been about inheritance and the things that are given. Now, today, inheritance is a little bit different than what they experienced in Old Testament times and in Bible times. Today, most of the time, the guys who work hard, the farmers say, I don't want my kids to be farmers. I want them to go to college and get an education and do something else. People who work hard nowadays they say, well, I want better for my kids. Well, in the Old Testament times, there wasn't that. And so what happens is those kids nowadays, they go off and do their own thing. Then daddy passes away and he leaves it for them, and they didn't do anything except take it. But in Old Testament, it was a little bit different. The inheritance wasn't just, okay, daddy passed on, what do we get? And how can we use it? Most of the time, we want an inheritance so that maybe we can pay off our house, or we can buy a new car. We want the ship to come in. We're like that, we want that rich old uncle that we never met to leave us $1 million so that we can do what we want to do with it. Well, in Old Testament times, that's not the way it was. The inheritance was different. The concept of inheritance was to take possession of something. And nowadays it's just kind of money, you know. Mom and dad leave their house, we put it up for auction, and we see what we can get with it. And, you know, I'm not criticizing that. That's just different than what it was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the inheritance, and especially in terms of Israel, was something that was it was established by God. He established the inheritance. He established that work in the book of Genesis. Chapter 15, God said, I'm going to give you all of this land as an inheritance. He told Abraham, I'm going to give all of this to you. Now, Abraham had not grown up on that land. It was not his land to start with. But God said, I'm going to give you this land as inheritance. And Abraham said, well, Lord, how do I know that I shall inherit it? And so God said immediately, well, I want you to get a heifer. I want you to get, and I want you to slay it, and I want you to lay that sacrifice down on the ground. And that's how they made a covenant. They would take the sacrifice. The two parties would walk between the pieces of the sacrifice. They would rehearse what they were committing to do to one another. And when they walk through, now that's Old Testament, guys. We don't do that anymore. It's kind of strange. But God said, you put that sacrifice there. And so Abraham laid that sacrifice down. In chapter 15, we have that story of that smoking furnace that passed between. And it was the presence of God that came down, went between those sacrifices, and said, here's how you know that you're going to inherit, because I have passed through, I have cut a covenant with you, and you're going to inherit this land. And so when the inheritance wasn't just a way to get some bucks and to pad my bank account so that I can do something, it was an important concept of the land. The land was back in those days, it wasn't so much about the gold, the house, because there wasn't a lot of that going on. There wasn't a lot of that to hand out. It was a farming, agricultural society. But God said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you this land. And so when they, of course, God went on to say, you know, that your family's going to suffer. They're going to go down to Egypt. I'm going to bring them out. And so then we have in the book of Joshua, when they came out and they finally got into that land. Then you see Joshua. He hands out. You read there in the second half of Joshua. You know, the first half's real exciting. All kinds of battles and kings that were killed in caves and walls tumbling down. But then you get halfway through and you're thinking Joshua's awesome. And then all of a sudden you start reading. Okay. Now Gad, you get this, you start up here at this city and you go south to that city and it's just a big survey document. The whole rest of the book of Joshua is a survey document that gives the survey of how Israel was to be divided. But that survey document was very important to all the children of Israel because it told them what piece of land they got. What piece of land that God, that he had promised to Abraham, he had made that covenant. And so when they looked at that document, they said, we get this part of the country. We get this land. And they were excited and God said, go take the land. Go take the land. And they went all each into their respective places. They helped each other get rid of some of the bigger enemies. But then when the bigger enemies were pushed out of the way, they still individually as tribes had to go and take a mountain here, take a valley there. They had to go and cast out the Canaanites in their specific places because the land was their inheritance. And so then as they would go in, there was tribes that had portions of land. And then within the tribes, it was apportioned to certain clans and families that the inheritance would pass to. And so the inheritance, it wasn't. So when it was, here we have these children of Israel who have nothing. They've wandered in the desert. They're coming into a land, and that land is important. They went to a land. Now, when they got there, God had already provided for them. Because he said, you're going to inhabit houses that you didn't build. You're going to get crops from fields that you didn't plant and from vineyards that you didn't tend. Because God had already prepared the way for them. And so they get to that land and they take the land. And so now the process begins. The father, the man of strength, the leadership, he went in. He helped push the enemies out. He established where they were at, and he didn't just kick back and twiddle his thumbs and say, well, this is a nice place. No, the fact that he had that land meant he had a lot of work to do. He had wells to dig. He had fields to plant and to turn and to care for. He had cattle that he had to make sure they had a place and they were cared for and they were kept. The land meant work. That's why a lot of farmers don't want their kids to stay on the farm. They want them to get an education and go somewhere else. Because farming means work. I keep a little garden and it wears me out. The land meant work. It meant work. And so what the father would do is he would work and he would tend that land. And from that land, God would provide for his family. He would toil. But God would give the increase. God would bless his efforts. God said, I'll bless you. I'll bring you into that land. It flows with milk and honey. And I'll bless you. As long as I'm your God, as long as you keep my commandments, I'll bless you. And so God would bless him. But then as he would grow older, his sons would begin to grow up. And he would begin to teach them when they were young how to work the field, how to tend the cattle, how to make sure that well kept operating. And didn't give out and that they had water. He would teach them. And so then as he would teach them, they would begin to do more and take more responsibility. And then dad, of course, the children are getting stronger. Daddy's getting weaker. As dad's winding down and becomes more frail, the sons assume more responsibility for that piece of land. For that piece of land. And so as dad is getting frail, son's building his house next door and building a house over there. And he's got these sons. And they begin to take charge of the land. Now, they don't own the land. But by this time, dad's getting gray. Dad's getting old. And he's not making all the decisions. And he's not out there at 5 in the morning. He's not out there doing the hard work. but he knows what needs to be done, and he's laying the work out, and he's telling them how to get it done, and they're doing it. But they don't have the possession of the land, but it's their land. They know it's their land. They know it's going to be theirs because the law of God established the proper process and rules by which the land was to be transferred. And so, Dad, they have their inheritance. They're living on their inheritance. They're living on it. It's providing for them. It provided for Daddy. It provided for us when we were little. Now it's providing for me and for my wife and for my little kids that I have. And Daddy passes on. And now they take possession. They take possession of the land. Now, it just didn't pay off their house. It did, but it was still just more work. More work. Inheritances just don't sound fun in Bible times, do they? Just doesn't sound fun to inherit something back then. But to them, it was so important. The land. Because the land, the inheritance in the Old Testament time, it was so important to their survival. They didn't have other places to go. There were no other occupations to endeavor to do. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to be a teacher, you had to be a Levite. There were no choices. If you were a Levite, you weren't a farmer. You had to do what God had told your family to do and to be. And so the inheritance, that land was important for them to keep. And so they would continue to work it. And so generation after generation, the land would be transferred from one father to a son, and on it would be transferred. And there were specific laws that as land, every once in a while, we get in trouble and you have to go to the bank and get a loan. And that might happen in Bible times. And you know what they would put up for collateral for their loan? They'd put their land up for collateral. But you know what God said? It's so important. I said I would give this land to you and it would be your inheritance. And the inheritance is so important that every 50 years, we're going to have a year of Jubilee. And if you sold your land, or in other words, took a debt on your land, every 50 years, it goes right back to its rightful owners, the ones I said should get it. God was so concerned about making sure that the families kept that land in the family. The inheritance was important. It was a relational thing. It was from father to son. Bloodline was important. The land was what's provided for them, and the inheritance was important. The inheritance that we have, that we read about there in Ephesians, that we have an earnest of our inheritance. The verse before said it was the Holy Spirit. Now, our inheritance is our, it talked about our redemption, our final redemption. That redemption when, now we've been redeemed and we've been saved, but that final redemption that chapter 1 and verse 14 of Ephesians is talking about, it's talking about when God brings that final redemption to the earth. When he brings that final redemption to all of us, we're redeemed, but there's going to be a final redemption when we are really brought into his presence for eternity. There's going to be that final redemption that Romans 8 talks about. The earth groaneth after it, waiting for the redemption. But what we have right now is we have the earnest of our inheritance. We've been given a little taste of it. Now, in the Old Testament, that son had a taste of what that land could do for him. He had a taste of his inheritance. He got to work it. He got to know how to work it and what was important and how it would provide for him. But finally, it would come as his father passed away. We have an earnest of our inheritance. We have been given the Holy Spirit as our inheritance, as the earnest of our inheritance to show us, you know what? Here's just a little bit of heaven. Here's my presence that you're going to experience right now. And it's the earnest of my presence that you're going to experience in eternity. Here's the Holy Spirit. You're going to get to partake of it. You're going to get to have it as a part of your life. Oh, that final redemption hasn't come. We're still here. But we partake of our inheritance even now. We have the earnest of our inheritance. And that's the life we live in the Holy Spirit. The life we live in the Holy Spirit is the earnest of the inheritance. We're going to live a Spirit-filled life in the Spirit for all eternity when that final redemption comes. And we have the earnest of that inheritance right now. We've got a taste of it. We have a piece of it that's a part of our lives. We now partake of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This is true for believers, all believers, filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's especially true to you and me who are part of First Pentecostal Church. We're Pentecostals. You know what? The earnest of our inheritance, it means a little bit more to me, I do believe, than it does to others. The earnest of our inheritance. As Pentecostals, we have a heritage of the work of the Holy Spirit among us, that earnest of His Spirit. In the Old Testament, the land provided for the livelihood for the people. It sustained them. So in our church today, it is the provision of the earnest of the Holy Spirit that provides for us corporately as a church. It is the earnest of the Holy Spirit that spiritually provides for me individually as a believer, that it sustains us and keeps us. We partake of that. God's going to keep us for all eternity. We're going to participate in that marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be part of that new Jerusalem and that new heaven. We're going to be a part of that river that flows. We're going to be a part of all that. But right now, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance, that we partake of a Spirit-filled life right now. We should hold that dear, that possession dear to our heart and our life. In the Old Testament, there are a few people who did not hold dear their inheritance. They didn't care for their inheritance like they should. One that comes to mind first off is Esau. He despised his birthright. Now, that just don't make much sense to me, because as a birthright, that meant that, you know, two sons, so that the way they did that in the Old Testament was if you had two sons, you divided it three ways and the oldest got two pieces. That's how that worked. If you had five sons, dad, all right, you divide it six ways and Dane gets two pieces. That's how that, how would he despise? Maybe he didn't want the work, because as I already described to you, there was some work that came with your inheritance. But Esau despised it. He didn't want the work that came with it. He didn't want the responsibility that came with it. And so he despised his inheritance. Oh, don't let it be said of us that we despise our inheritance. Don't let it be said of us that we take for granted the blessed life in the Spirit that we have been granted by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the life we live through Him. We should never despise that or take that for granted. This life in the Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance. We have the Holy Ghost, which is the earnest of our inheritance. I want to look for just a few minutes here about some Old Testament examples for us to consider about our inheritance. The first one I want, and about the Holy Spirit, life in the Spirit being our inheritance. The first one I want to talk about are the daughters of, here, this is, I always say this name wrong because I put the PH first and the L second, but it's the daughters of Zelophehad. Now, in Numbers chapter 27, they were getting ready to come to divide the land. They were talking about dividing the land. And these daughters of Zelophehad, one of them was Hogla. That's a great name. I don't remember the other names, but it's in Numbers chapter 27, verse 1 through 11, if you want to look there. They didn't have any brothers. And they're looking forward to going to the promised land. And they're saying, you know what? All this is going to go to the men. What are we going to have? Because all the talk was which guys were going to get which pieces of land. And so they came to Moses and they said in verse 3, our father died in the wilderness. And I like this, the end of verse 3, but died in his own sin. They were saying he wasn't part of the rebellion of Korah. But he wasn't believing. He died in his own sin like all the others who would not go into the promised land. And so they said, why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no sons? Given to us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. You know, this life in the Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Ghost, this earnest of our inheritance, you know how you get it? You ask for it. They ask. They just ask. They said, we need it, and we're going to ask for it. We're going to ask for our inheritance. And so Moses got the guys together and said, what are we going to do? And so the guys decided, thou shalt surely give them a possession among the inheritance of an inheritance among their father's brethren. This life in the Spirit, all you got to do is ask for it. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? All you got to do is ask for it. It's your earnest. It's your inheritance. It's part of what you can have as a Christian. And all you got to do is ask for it. All you got to do is say, Lord, I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. All you got to do is ask. And just like these daughters of Zelophehad had, if we come and ask, if Moses being evil can give good things to these daughters, if a father being evil gives good gifts to his children, will not your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who love him? All you got to do is ask for the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is say, it's my inheritance. Why should my name be left out? I don't want to be left out. I want to be part of this life in the Spirit. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. Lord, I want that earnest of my inheritance. I want the power of the Holy Ghost. I want that blessed life in the Spirit. I want that Pentecostal blessing. That's what we call it. Well, I want that Pentecostal blessing in my life. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. They ask and they receive. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Now, to these young ladies, their inheritance and that land was important enough for them to ask for. Let me encourage you. Whether you've been filled with the Holy Ghost before, whether you're seeking right now, it needs to be important enough for you to ask. It needs to be important enough for you to come to the Father and say, I want to be filled. Where's my inheritance? I want to receive this inheritance. And God will pour out His Spirit. God will fill with His Spirit. The daughters of Zelophehad, they were willing to ask to be filled with, to receive their inheritance. And we need to ask to receive our inheritance. In Joshua chapter 14, we have the story of Joshua's lifelong friend. Faced a lot of battles together, stood together as the rest of the children of Israel were turning their back in unbelief against God. We have Caleb, who had went in, and 40 years earlier, he had come to that mountain. He had come to that mountain, he had... He saw the good things that were there. He saw the fruit. He saw that land that was indeed flowing with milk and honey. And so we have here in Joshua, we've got to the point to where they've come through lots of battles. And Caleb, in chapter 14, they've had a lot of battles and things are winding down. And Caleb comes to Joshua in verse 12 of chapter 14. He says, now therefore give me this mountain. He asks again. He asks. Give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And then we see over in chapter 15, verse 14, and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. You know what he did? He wanted his inheritance, and he was willing to fight for it. He was willing to fight for it. The inheritance didn't come easy. The inheritance, I already tried to explain to you enough that there's some work in an inheritance. There's some effort. But in his case, it was a great effort. It was an effort to him in his situation. He risked his life to get his inheritance. He said, I want that mountain. There might be giants in it. There might be things that I have to face that I didn't expect I'd have to face there. But I'm willing to fight for it. And I'm 85 years old, but my strength is not any less than it was when I was younger. And I'm ready to fight for that mountain. We're not going to pick up any swords and we're not going to throw any spears. But in a spiritual sense, we need to be ready to fight for our inheritance. We fight, and how I want to look at this tonight is it's a prayer warrior experience. You've got to fight for your inheritance. If you're going to have that earnest inheritance of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's something you've got to pray for. You've got to be a prayer warrior. If you're going to keep it alive and real in your life, if you're going to keep that experience moving on, you've got to fight for that inheritance. Caleb was willing to fight for it. We've got to be willing to get on our knees every day and say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. We've got to be willing to get on our knees every day and pray against the attack of the enemy that comes to steal our inheritance from us. We've got to pray against the enemy of our soul and say, Lord, I'm ready to fight for my inheritance. I'm not going to give up any ground in what I have from God. Living a spirit-filled life isn't easy. Living a spirit-filled life takes a prayer warrior. The earnest of our inheritance. We've got to ask for it. We've got to pray for it. We've got to pray to be filled. Pray to be used. Pray to have the power of God in our life. We've got to pray to have His manifestation in our midst. Individually, I got to pray if I'm going to stay where I need to be in the Lord and full of the Holy Ghost. As a church, if we're going to have God moving, if we're going to have lives being changed, if we're going to have people being saved, other people being filled with the Holy Ghost, it's going to take some of us that are experiencing the earnest of our inheritance to become prayer warriors and say, we've got to see it here. We want to experience the inheritance here. We want to see it in this place and in this church and be willing to fight for it. Be willing to fight for that Pentecostal experience. Be willing to fight for that life in the Spirit. It doesn't come easy. When you were saved, you got saved because somebody else was praying. When you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you got filled with the Holy Ghost because somebody else was praying. Somebody else was interceding. Somebody else was fighting to take that mountain because they wanted to see God moved and they wanted to see His presence poured out. And we've got to take up that mantle as well and be willing to fight for the earnest of our inheritance. Another individual in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 21, we have the story of Naboth and his vineyard. Ahab, that wicked king that married that wicked Jezebel, who was willing to just completely forget about how important the inheritance was. He was sitting around one day in his palace, Ahab was, and he looked out his window and he saw Naboth's vineyard. And he said, I want that vineyard. It's not mine, but I want it. And so he goes to Naboth there in chapter 21 of 1 Kings, and he says, give me thy vineyard. He goes on to tell him, I'll give you one that's better. And if it seems good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth knew how important that land was. It wasn't just the income he got off of it that was important. It wasn't just the fine grapes that were grown there that was important. But what Naboth understood was that land was part of his inheritance with God. That land was what God had told Abraham that he would give to his children. And Naboth came back to Ahab and said, Ahab, the Lord forbid it me. God forbid that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Ahab, you don't understand how important that inheritance is to me. We've got to be ready to protect our inheritance. We've got to be ready to protect it. Well, how do you protect the Holy Ghost? He don't need no protecting. He does in our mind. He does in our church. We have to protect the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have to preach it and believe it. We have to stand on it. We have to not compromise it. Substitutes won't work for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ahab wanted him to take a substitute. I'll give you another one. It's probably better. It grows bigger grapes. It does better work. It's easier. But there is no substitute for the life in the Spirit. There is no substitute. There's no self-help books. There's no humanistic philosophy. There's no psychology that can substitute for the anointed work of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that can substitute it. And so we got to protect our inheritance. We can't let a worldly way, we can't let a worldly philosophy become our philosophy as individuals and our philosophy as a church. And Paul said, you've got to be careful about those philosophies, those vain that spoil your joy. You got to be careful about those philosophies of the world that will spoil your joy and your faith and your inheritance in the Holy Ghost. You've got to be careful about those things, Paul said. And we as well have to make sure we're protecting what we believe about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, about the presence of the Spirit in our lives. Some Pentecostal denominations today are going away from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They say, we don't have it in our church. They haven't protected the earnest of their inheritance. They haven't protected it. They no longer look for the divine moving of the Holy Spirit. But we've got to say, no, this ain't for sale. What we believe, what we know to be true, what God's Word teaches us is not for sale. We're not going to take a substitute. We're not going to let something else try to take its place just because the big church down the road maybe doing what looks like on the outside, doing well with it. We're not going to compromise what God's Word says. We're not going to compromise what we know to be the blessing of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in a church. We're going to protect it. We're going to hold fast to it. We're not going to let it go, but we're going to recognize its importance. We're not going to let time cause us to grow familiar with it and to cause us to not take, not cherish it like we should. We're not going to let time erode our desire for it, but we're going to protect it. We're going to keep that desire as strong in our life today as it was when we were teenagers. How about that? Yeah. How about that? All of us old people. Yeah, I said us. I'm 43. I've got to say it. How about our desire? Have we protected it? Or is it an experience that we had when we were young and we're older now and we know better? We've got to protect it. We've got to protect that desire. Oh, that desire to be full of the Holy Ghost. Not just the experience we had back then, but an experience we have now. An experience of a life in the Spirit that we don't become too familiar with it. We don't nominalize it or marginalize it, but we see that it is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the thing He's given us. It's what God has given us as believers that lets us see that the life we're going to have in the future, oh, we can have the part of that right now with our life in the Spirit. The earnest of our expectation. Another one in the Old Testament who saw the importance of his inheritance in Jeremiah chapter 32. We have this story. Jeremiah, he's been preaching hard. He's been telling them that that kingdom from the north is coming and they're going to wipe out the land and everybody's going to be taken captive. And there's a, you know, he's been preaching hellfire and brimstone and damnation. And now he's in prison for it because he told them what they'd done wrong and that they needed to get right and they weren't going to listen to it. And he's in prison. And while he's sitting in prison, God comes to him In chapter 32 of Jeremiah, verse 6, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanameel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy. He said, your uncle's going to come, Jeremiah, and he's going to tell you to buy that field. Now, Jeremiah was thinking, if we're leaving, why am I going to buy any land? If we're all going to be taken to the north, why should I buy land? But God told him to. And the next day, you read verse 8, it says he came, and the end of verse 8, he says, then I knew that it was the word of the Lord. He knew God. It wasn't just a crazy dream he had. But when his uncle showed up to visit him in prison and say, Jeremiah, you've got some land here. It's your right to redeem it, and you should buy it. Then I bought the field, verse 9 says, of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. Verse 12 says, and I gave the evidence of the purchase. And then God began to speak to him and tell him why he had him do it. And in verse 15, he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts. It's kind of like as he began to obey God and did what God said, then God began to give him another word to tell the people. And so he says, he's been preaching that we're all going to be gone and it's all going to be run over. But in verse 15, he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in the land. Jeremiah was willing to pay the price for his inheritance. He didn't look at it and say, well, you know, right now, that's just not going to work in my life. I'm kind of in prison and we're not going to be. No, he was willing to pay the price. He was willing to pay the price for his inheritance. Now, as a church, to have that earnest of our inheritance, that life in the Spirit, there's work involved with having. There is effort. There's a price to pay. The price to pay is that God's going to start using us. And it may get in the way of a few other areas of our life that are kind of important to us. There may be situations in our life that we're saying, you know, I'm not sure God needs to use me in this way. Just don't look like the right way to go. We need to be ready to pay the price. Say, Lord, whatever you have me do, that I might experience that life in the Spirit. Oh, we have the earnest of our inheritance. He's ready to give it to us. He's ready to give it to us. We should pay the price. You know, you look in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful. He had an inheritance, but he laid in the bed, and Proverbs says, and it was all grown over, and the wall was broken down, because he had his inheritance, but he wasn't ready to get out in it and work. He wasn't ready to get out in it and work it. He had that inheritance, but he wasn't willing to pay the price that came with his inheritance. And in the Old Testament, with your inheritance came some work, came some things to do. And so it is in our life as believers. You know, God gives us the earnest of our inheritance, but he didn't give it to us just to sit over and say, yeah, look at what all we got and pat our bank account and look how much fun we're having and we'll go to the lake and all of this. That's not what it's about. Jesus sent them back to Jerusalem not so they could get a penthouse suite and take a long vacation. They went to the upper room to be endued with power from on high. Why? Because he had a mission for him to accomplish. He had places for him to go, people to talk to, things to be done in his kingdom. And they were willing to go back and say, I'm going to do that. And God poured his Spirit out. And we see the book of Acts that they all paid the price. They paid the price as they gave up things for God, as they went places for God, as they laid their head on the chopping block for God. But His Holy Spirit was with them. They were full of the Holy Ghost, and God was using them, and God was building His church. God can't build His church with a bunch of lazy Christians. God can't build His church with just a bunch of people who say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, now let me sit. You got to be ready to pay the price. God wants us to experience that earnest of our inheritance. He wants us to experience the life in the Spirit that we're going to have for Him. But we can't be like that slothful man that let that field just go to waste. We can't be like that prodigal son who said, "Yeah, Dad, give me the earnest. Give me a little bit of my inheritance." And he went and squandered it on riotous living because he didn't care about it. How many have we seen? They get in. They get a hold of God. God fills them with their Spirit. But then, where are they at a couple years from now? Squandered their inheritance. Don't let it be said of us. We need to ask for it. We need to fight for it. We need to protect it. We need to be willing to say, "Lord, I know working for you is going to be some work. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is going to cause me to step out of my comfort zone and do some things I didn't expect to do. Being full of your Spirit and walking in the Spirit is going to cause me to have to do some things. But Lord, I'm willing to pay that price. I'm willing to do what's necessary because I want to be used by you. I want to experience that fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life that you're working through me." We're willing to pay the price for our inheritance. Oh, what an inheritance we have. What a heritage we have here at First Pentecostal Church. What God has done, how He's passed on generation after generation here. The power of His Spirit, the blessing of the Holy Ghost, and we don't need to let that go. We don't need to squander it. We need to say, "Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to do it in me. I'm ready to ask you, Lord, for you to do it in me. I'm ready to fight and pray for it. I'm ready to say, Lord, get on my knees and intercede to see God's Spirit move. I'm ready to turn down the things of this life and this world, and I'm ready to pay the price, Lord, for you to have your way, for us to experience the fullness of the life in your Spirit that you want us to have." Oh, that we have. We have the earnest of His Spirit, the earnest of His Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance we have among us unto the praise of His glory. Oh, that He would be glorified. Oh, that He would be lifted up as we see Him in our midst, as we see Him in our midst. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for those that have went ahead and shown me a way. Lord, I thank you for those that have preached the word, have taught, Lord, that have lived a life of the Holy Spirit before me. Lord, I thank you for those in the past. But Lord, I pray that now that we would experience that same inheritance, that same heritage, Lord, of your Holy Spirit being real in our midst, of your Holy Spirit working among us, of your Holy Spirit being real in my life. Lord, that I would begin to know the blessings of your Holy Spirit as those that have gone on in the past have known the blessings of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that this church would experience those blessings, that inheritance that we have of your Holy Spirit, Lord, like they've experienced in the past, that Lord, now that same inheritance would be in among us, that the outpouring of your Holy Spirit would be real in our midst. Lord, let us not squander your Holy Spirit, but Lord, let us hold it dear and hold it precious in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Even tonight, Lord, as we come into this altar, Lord, let us ask for your Holy Spirit. Let us intercede for the moving of your Holy Spirit. Let us call out to you that once again we would see your blessing in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.